Well, today we're going to move into the 11th part of our spiritual warfare series. And we're going to look at a very familiar passage, primarily. Praise team's read it. I'm going to cover it again as we go through it, but it comes out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Talks about the armor of God. One of the wonderful things about our Lord God is He has given us the armor that you and I need. He gave it to us, but you know what we've got to do? We have to learn how to use it. Amen. We've got to learn that it's got to stay on. It has to. If you want it to work, it needs to stay on 7/24. I think I'm going to be facing something today. I think it's time to pull out the shield. Oops, a little rusty on the blade there too. And that, where did I put my helmet? Amen? That's called, we'll just walk out on the battlefield and get whooped up on. We're going to look at this though in the armor that God's given us, how to wear it, what we need to know. And I want to call the part that we're going to look at today, just don't go into the battlefield naked. You know? God's given us the armor, so don't go going out there on the battlefield naked as a jaybird. You're going to get whooped up on if you do. One of the things that history has taught us, and I think most of us know, I mean, we've studied it in all of our history, school and everything, it seems like any time that a nation or a country kind of gets too big for their britches and they start to think that, hey, I'm invincible. Nobody can get me. I'm not vulnerable anymore. Or they just have this naive sense, well, everybody in the world is good and we can talk peace with them and they'll listen. If we don't hurt, if we don't do anything to offend them, they'll leave us alone. Usually those nations find out that they're not quite ready for the war that ends up coming to their front doorsteps. Amen. And all of a sudden they get this sneak attack that came out of nowhere. For instance, go back to the World War II era. Pearl Harbor got attacked and there were a couple thousand folks that lost their lives in that attack because we kind of went, oh, this really couldn't happen. Not them. Or most recently, 9/11, where over 3,000 people died when the terrorists flew airplanes into Twin Towers in New York City. We were off guard because we didn't know how the enemy was going to attack. We didn't know who the enemy really was and in what methodology and on what day he was going to do his thing. And guess what? In spiritual warfare, it's exactly the same. So in these next two sessions, this session and then next week when we really close out, I want to share with you what God wants us to do so far as fighting these battles, how He wants us to go about getting ready. I want to touch on the equipment that God has already given us. It's not like we got to go out and find it or buy it. He's already given it to us. It's there. And He's given it to us to help us in these battles. So again, we're going to be looking at this. The key passages are coming right out of Ephesians. And they tell us directly how God wants us to actually fight the battle and how He wants you and me to prepare for the battle. Now, in the Army, I'll use the Army. A couple of us served there. Marines, you had the same thing. We had these books that were called field manuals. Navy, I think Navy's even got them. But Coast Guard said they did this morning. But they've got these field manuals. We call them FMs. And all these manuals basically were how to use the weapon system that you had been given and also how to conduct various types of warfare or various types of battle. Well, guess what? God's done exactly the same thing and He's given us our FM, if you will, and part of it comes right out of here out of Ephesians chapter 6. Our field manual, God's Word, is there for us. Amen. Okay. So in these next couple weeks, again, we're going to look at what God tells us about the weapons that we have, the armor that He's given us, and how to use them, and how He expects us to conduct the fight. So as we prepare against this, you stop and you think about it. As we prepare, we've got an enemy who is going to engage us on a whole bunch of different fronts. He's going to engage us on a whole bunch of different battlefields. He's going to engage you on a battlefield that's called discouragement. Has anybody been discouraged this week? He will engage you there. Anybody suffering from depression this week? He's going to engage you there. Anybody have doubt over anything? The economy, your nation, your marriage, your family, your health, your whatever. He's going to engage you on the battlefield of doubt. Anybody have a plan that got blown up and shot up real good this week? Thank you. He's going to engage you on those plans that get devastated. That's all. All these are battlefields. And we've got to be prepared. We're not supposed to sit there and go, he's out there someplace, but I'm not going to worry about him. He's not on my front door. So I'm not going to sweat it right now. I'll worry about it when the time comes. No. We've got to be prepared unless we want to get knocked down. Now, if you want to get knocked down, the reason you're getting knocked down is because you're trying to rely upon your own power and upon your own wisdom and not upon the wisdom of God. God's given us all. So in light of this, we need to know who it is we're fighting, number one. We've got to know that. And once again, God tells us, if you've got your Bible and you flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, real simple, God just gets right out through Peter and says, here's who you're up against. It says, be sober in spirit. Be on the alert. We'll talk about those in just a second. Your adversary. Who is your adversary? Satan. It says the devil. It's Satan, right? Amen? Look what he does. It says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to chew up. God tells us, he says, be sober in spirit. Does anybody know what that means? Any of y'all? That's the next part. Huh? Self-control. Yeah, it ties in that self-control thing. It ties in the thing of not getting all puffed up and thinking that you've got the world by the tail. Because, I mean, if you're not self-controlled, you're going to be thinking you got the world by the tail, and you're going to try to operate that way, right? Would you agree? So it says, don't basically be sober in spirit. Have self-control. Understand who your enemy is. Don't sit there and be thinking it's somebody else. Second part is, he said, be alert. Well, that means just exactly what it says. Don't get caught off guard. Keep your spiritual eyes open and your spiritual ears open and be discerning. You don't want to go to sleep in your foxhole while you're on guard duty. You know, here in stateside, if a soldier did something like that, he gets court-martialed probably, or Article 15. In combat, if he's out there on one of those outlying listening posts and he decides he's too tired and he's going to go to sleep, he probably won't wake up the next morning. Be alert. Be alert. So Peter states exactly who it is our enemy is. He said he is the devil. Then the devil is the one who is out there on the prowl looking for somebody to put his fangs into and to rip apart. Now listen, you got to understand this too. The devil is more cunning than all of us put together on our best day. He's more cunning than you are. You believe that? He is. He is more powerful than you are. On your best day, he will get you the moment you start thinking that, you know what, I got it all together. I can do this. He's more powerful than any army, any military force on this earth. But we have the one who's more powerful than he is. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's him, he's the one who's supplying us with this state-of-the-art weaponry and state-of-the-art armor and state-of-the-art firepower. And his name's Jesus. Do you agree? Are you glad? I know I am. Okay. Now, so we don't need to fear Satan because the war's already been won. But at the same time, Jesus doesn't want us to go out on the battlefield without our armor on because he knows that, hey, look, he's going to get some hits in on you if you go out there that way. So I'm giving you the armor to keep you from getting all these hits. I'm giving it to you in advance, and you need to put it on, and you need to wear it. You don't want to leave it at home. You see, if we just throw our weapons and our armor off there in the corner and say, oh, gosh, I don't need that. I don't need it right now. It's too heavy to carry around, and I've got too many other things in life that I need to be doing. I don't really want to go through battle drill exercises. It's too much trouble. I don't have time. Then all the armor that the Lord has given you and me isn't going to do anything for you. And you're going to get blasted. I don't like getting blasted, do you? It is not fun. So Jesus tells us here in Ephesians again that we've got to get prepared. That's one of the things that you really see as you read through this Ephesians chapter 6, particularly starting here at the 10th verse. He's saying, you got to get prepared, soldiers. You got to get prepared. Verse 10, take a look at what it says. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. There's two things that come out of this. One is be strong, but how do we do that? Right? I mean, okay, it says be strong in the Lord. You go, oh, okay, I guess that means something. But how do we do it? Well, I'm going to use my Army background and some of my experience that I had while I was in service. Paul knew the Roman military very well. He was a Roman citizen. He saw them marching all over the place. He understood them. So that's why he used a lot of military terminology. So I'm going to try to pull a little bit of that. And Ron, I mean, it'd be the same thing as Marines, because, I mean, we kind of had similar type battle plans and battle drills and all the rest of the stuff. So I'm going to use my Army background a little bit. I was a soldier and I was an officer. I was a soldier first and officer second. But one of the things that I had to do is I had to be physically strong. And believe it or not, I used to weigh about 165 pounds, didn't I? Yeah. I was a, you know, like Ron, we were lean, mean fighting machines. You know, we could do the things. Because we had to be in order to be part of to be effective as part of a fighting unit. Now, every soldier basically had to get conditioned. We had to be conditioned physically, we had to be conditioned mentally, and we had to be conditioned in such that we knew our equipment, we knew how to operate it in the worst of conditions and in the best of conditions. This is why one of the reasons why the military still emphasizes fitness today. I'll never forget, up here at Indiantown Gap when they started working us over. And they said, go get your field packs. And your field pack had everything in it. We remember. Get your field pack, get your weapon, get out here on the parade field, and we're going to go for a little walk. Actually, what they were getting ready to tell you that you were going to do is you were actually going to go run for a couple miles out to a training area. And when I first did that, I thought I was going to die. Because those stupid packs weighed about 50 pounds with all of the gear that we had to carry in them, plus an M14 at the time. I was never so glad to see M16s come along and they gave them to us to train with because they were considerably lighter. But you put about 70 pounds on your back. The modern soldier today carries anything from 50 to 70 pounds plus his or her weapons. And if you're a machine gunner, you got another 30 pounds that you're carrying plus ammo. That's a lot of weight. That's a way to train, isn't it? And then go out there and run 5 miles or 7 miles out to a training area. You think you're going to die. And you don't. But somehow or another, if you're not physically prepared, and that's what they're working you up to, they know that you can't do it. You couldn't do it in battle. But you got to. Guess what? Back during the Vietnam era, we trained with full gear. The guys and gals in the military service train with full gear at times today, too. And we packed it up and we went on these little fun marches, these little fun road things to build up our physical ability. But it was also not just the physical, but it was also to come to understand that we could actually do it. To build up the mental capability, if you will. God wants us to build up the mental capability ourselves about understanding that, you know what, the weaponry and the armor that he gives us today will in fact work, and you just have to carry it with you. You got to have it on. You got to use it because it will work. Okay, let's apply this. See, for us to be strong in the Lord, it means that we're going to, really, it all boils down, how do you do that? Well, you do it by understanding that you're going to have to go through some spiritual disciplines. You know that? Spiritual disciplines. Anybody remember what some of the spiritual disciplines are? Okay. Huh? Prayer's one of them. That's right. Now, come on. The first service showed you, or showing you guys up. Ron's got the Bible. Read the Word. Be in the Word. Some of the other ones. Gathering together. Witnessing. Serving the Lord. Caring for one another. I mean, we go down the whole thing. Plus, not only, I mean, those are the things that we do, but you know what one of the other ones with? Part of the things that we're going to go through are live fire exercises. So that you can try it out. So that you can use it. In other words, God's going to use some live fire exercises, real life situations for you and me that we have to go through in order to build up our knowledge and our understanding that, you know what, this stuff works. We've talked about these discipline things. So, you know, like I said, talk to him, prayer regularly. Learn how to listen to the commander. We need to listen to him also, not just talk to him. We need to read our Bibles daily so that we understand what it is he's saying to us, right? We need to find out more about his love. You're going to find out more about his love as you read, as you sit down and read his Bible. You have to develop a growing, loving relationship with those around. It's called the fellowship. You know, we come together to worship him. We come together to express worship freely to him. One of the things about the together thing is it also helps us build some discipline of being around other people and working together as a team. Huh. Doesn't the military do the same thing? I mean, the individual soldier is pretty good, but you know what? And I mean, that's great for the individual soldier is pretty good as long as I got my hand on the button that I can push. And I got one. I need another guy. I need another one over there to push the other button too. See, I can take out things that way. But the individual soldier works best when he's in a team. Right? The team works together. The church is a team. And so, body of Christ. You want to learn to meditate on his word. You want to dig in and meditate on his word. What are you going to do when you're out on the battlefield? Are you going to have time to sit down on the spiritual battlefield? Are you going to have time to sit down and read your Bible? And go, where do I remember hearing that at? What do you want to do with the word? You want to do what with it? Hide it in your heart. And you do that by getting into it when you're not in battle and sitting down and spending some time in it. And then hiding it in your heart, meditating on it. What is it God saying to me? How is God lifting me up in this? Amen? Yeah. And we need to do some practicing. I call them live fire exercises and FTXs. Next thing we want to do is we got to understand this strength in his might thing that Jesus is talking about here in that passage. Same thing, verse 10. What it's telling us is we got to realize where our power comes from. Our power doesn't come out of our physical strength. Our power comes out of the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. Jesus. That's the only place that the real power comes from is the Lord. It doesn't come about by us going to a conference or us going to some cerebral book exercise where we sit down and, oh, look what I learned. Whoop-whoop. That's nice. It comes about by really understanding and accepting that my God allows me to be tested in life. Your God, the same Jesus Christ, allows you to go through life and you will be tested. And you got to understand when he allows you to be tested, he's doing it to build you up, Amen. Not to tear you down. He wants you stronger. He's letting you go through some live fire exercises to where you really start to understand that I can depend on my Lord because he's got the weaponry. He's got the armor that he's already given me, and he's got the smoking power. He's all powerful. Amen? He lets us go through some of these things. He doesn't send us through simulations. You learn best when you're in a live fire exercise. And he lets us go through those. But when we understand that, I can start to operate in the strength of his might because I know he's really the one that's mighty. So whatever the outcome, I mean, if he's got me out there on day one of a live fire exercise and I get wasted by the enemy, I won. If I stand victorious, I won. Dave, I think you like the one that Vincella used to use all the time. He said, Christians got the best of everything. How'd that go? Yeah. You're going to win either way. You have won. Is that cool? We've won. We know we have won. So even if I take a fatal hit, I've won. I'm out of here. I'm with the Lord. If I don't, I win through the Lord, and I go on to fight another battle. And it's all because I know Jesus has done it. So Jesus is going to carry me forward in the battlefield. It's by his strength that I'm even going to go forward. When instead I have to try to figure out, oh gosh, how am I going to put one foot in front of another one more day? I can't do this. It's in his strength, his might, that I can get carried forward. He carries us even. And in the fact that he does so, we don't even shrink and fall back. Next thing I wanted to look at is the fact that as we go on in this thing, it says, put on how much of the armor? Full armor. Let's say leave some of it at home. Let's say leave my helmet at home. Huh? Did it say leave my shield at home? Did it say leave my sword at home? Did it say leave my body armor at home, my protective plating? No, it says put on the full armor of God. And again, I can go back, you know, I want to go back to the military and relate some of the stuff the Army and the Marines did because soldiers just did not go out onto the battlefield naked. We didn't do it. We took our armor, we took our equipment, we took what we needed. Amen? Because we don't want to leave it in the wall locker. I don't want to go and leave my helmet in a PC. I want to go. I want to have everything. I don't want to leave my gas mask, my protective gear. I don't want to leave it someplace where, oh, gee, I left it back over there, and it's 5 miles away, and this guy's throwing stuff at me, and I need my stuff. I shared with y'all what we did one time to a wonderful major, I think. Y'all remember that? We were out on an FTX, field training exercise, and I was a division staff officer and also working with the battalion, and we had this major who was kind of a smarty. Nobody liked him. So anyway, we knew he left his protective gear, his protective mask, gas mask, in his tent. Because he didn't need it. He's in a van with an air conditioner. So my NCOIC, we went and talked to the battalion commander and also the division guy, and he says, oh yeah, have some fun. So everybody, we all put our gear on, and they went over and dropped a canister of a good old Charlie Sierra into the air conditioning system. You ought to have seen the rats come pouring out of the van, cussing and swearing, calling us all sorts of names, until he saw two stars on the one guy's shoulder that was there. The major, where's your protective gear? Back over the tent. You knew we were having exercises. Hey, same goes for us. It's not going to do us any good if it's back over in the tent, stuck in a wall locker, lying on your table, stuck in a shelf. It's not going to do you any good. Amen? We got to be in it. Football teams suit up. You know? How many of y'all like football? Don't they go out don't they suit up when they go out for practice? Anybody play? Don't they keep the suits on when they go out onto the big field and play the big game? Yeah. I have yet to see a game called naked football. Have you? Might be interesting on TV. You know, they'd probably show it nowadays. I haven't seen it. But I'm going to tell you what, if soldiers won't go out on the battlefield naked and football players don't go out on the football field naked, why in the world should we think that we ought to go out and try to fight our spiritual battles without being suited up and prepared? Amen? We need to do that. Take a look there at verse 11. God tells us that we are to get prepared. We are to suit up so that we can do something, so that we can stand firm against the what? The schemes of the devil. Yeah. Anybody know what schemes are? Ooh, yeah. They're planned out tricks, aren't they? That's the key to really understanding schemes, is they're planned out. You know, most of us can, I mean, if we put our heads together, I'll bet you we could come up with a pretty good scheme to use against one another, couldn't we? You know, we could have a little bit of fun. Satan plans out his schemes that he uses against us. They're planned out. I hope the other thing, you know, we understand something. I really do. And I mean, we've got to understand who our enemy is, and we got to really understand that the devil is very, very real. He is real. He is not some dark force to be made fun of or some dark force that they show on television in some movie. He's not some guy like the pictures that we most of us grew up with or still see today, where he walks around in his red pajama suit with his horns, his pitchfork, and his red tail. Uh-uh. He's real. He's very real. And you know what he wants? He wants to destroy you. He wants to kick you big time, and me. He wants to kick the Christian. You know why he wants to? He's mad at God because he lost. He still wants to, he thinks somehow or another, even though he knows he's lost, that just maybe he might be able to win, even though he knows he won't. What a way. I mean, talk about being deceived. No wonder he's called a deceiver. He's even deceived himself, right? So here he is. He wants to destroy you because he's trying to get back at God. He's mad at God. So when he attacks, he'll attack things like your marriage with some of his best laid plans. When he attacks, he'll want to destroy your career. Amen? He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your bank account. He wants to destroy, most importantly, he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy who you show. And if he can do that by destroying your integrity, any way, shape, or form, he sits back and goes, well, I can't get them, but I sure did ruin them. They're not much use to Jesus anymore. He wants to whip you up over and over and over and over so that you'll go, oh, I can't do this anymore. Go back and sit on the sideline, put your head in your hands. That's where he wants you. Because you are at that point, you become defeated. Raising your hands up and say, I quit. I can't do this. His favorite weapon is use of those schemes. Those little planned out schemes and tricks of his. You know, he'll throw out those roadblocks. He'll throw out those logs to trip you up. He'll play on your weakness. And he will have a field day. If you don't have your weaponry and you don't have your armor, and if you're not relying on the strength of the Lord. He's subtle. Let me tell you, he's subtle. He doesn't come at you with a nuke. He doesn't sit back on the hill and throw heavy artillery at you. He likes to get up close and personal with all of his little minions. Send one of them and put it up. Have one of them just drop by for a little bit and visit you. Amen? You and I are not going to outsmart him. How many of y'all think you can outsmart the devil? I'm not that good either. That's right. And he's not afraid of us. He is not afraid of you, and he's not afraid of me. But I'll tell you what the good news is. He's deathly afraid of Jesus Christ because he knows that Jesus has got the power. He knows that the Jesus who's in you and me is the one that he can't win against. And he knows that Jesus Christ has already won the war. He knows that Jesus holds the keys to sin and death, and that Satan has nothing to hold over you or me or any other Christian. Be strong in the strength of the Lord. It's in his strength that Satan has nothing to hold over you. You know, and some of his favorite lies are, well, God surely won't love you anymore. Amen? But God does. Satan's the deceiver. He schemes. But because he does fear God, and he knows that God is, in fact, stronger than he is, we win. Praise God. I win. You win. So if you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit in you, if you've got Jesus Christ in you, you don't have to be afraid of Satan. But I'll tell you what you do have to be. You've got to respect your enemy. Don't think that you're so big that you don't need your armor. Because you do. God gave it to us. Because otherwise, if we start thinking that we are, that gets back to that sober in spirit thing. Then we're going to start taking those hits. Next week, we're going to look at the various types of armor. We're going to look at some of the weaponry, and we're going to look at how to use them. I'm going to tell you something, though. I'll tell you as much as I can about how to use the stuff. But folks, you're going to have to take your piece of armor and your piece of weapon, and you're going to have to train with it yourself. I can't train you. Amen. I can't put it on you. You and I have to put it on ourselves. We have to take it up and put it on. And we've got to train in it ourselves. I can't do that for you. I can help you. And several of the other folks in here can help you when you're struggling with some of this stuff. But we can't do the thing for you. But we don't want you to take a hit. I don't want you to take any hits. I want to see you be victorious in everything. But even if you get struck down, you won. Remember? Because you got Jesus. And because of him, you win. You win. Now, one of the things, I'm going to part with this. There is so much bad, erroneous, get Christians in trouble teaching out there today. There is so much of this. Go into battle and go charging the enemy. You read this passage. In four verses, four times, God said, stand firm. It's not about you and I taking the... We don't need to take the battle to Satan. Satan brings it to us. You need to know how to stand firm. And stand firm together. One of the things in Paul understood this. God didn't tell us to go and run a blitzkrieg attack. He said instead stand firm. And you know how they did it? The Roman army got their formations together. And they were almost interlocked. Every person, every man in the formation was basically interlocked to the next one. And with their shields, they could stop the arrows as they sat there and had the arrows flipped at them. The other thing that Paul talks about, and we'll look at this in more detail, the sword that the soldier is carrying in this part of battle, the Roman soldiers carried two swords. They had one that was a longer one, and it was good for attacking. But the one that he's talking about here is the little short sword. It's a defensive sword. It's for in close and dirty fighting. What the Romans would do is as the enemy came at them, there was no way they were going to be able to come through this obstacle of trained, equipped soldier flesh. And as they would move forward, it was slow moving forward. You know what? The church is supposed to be doing exactly the same thing today because Jesus said the gates of hell can't prevail against her. if we would be joined together, arm to arm, everybody shielding with our sword, there's nothing that can stand against her. Amen. Nothing. So we got to remember that as we read through this, our battle is really a standing firm. It's more of a defensive posture than it is a, every man for himself, run across the field, slashing and dashing. It's not one of standing back and throwing arrows and lobbing darts and nuking the other guy or any of the other stuff. Satan's the one that's launching the attack. We need to stand firm and be able to withstand it. So start preparing, folks. Just start preparing. Read through this passage. Take it home. I encourage, take this passage and read through and kind of meditate on it a little bit this week. Look at the equipment. And remember that Jesus said, stand firm. He said, stand in his strength. Be strong in his strength. And take up the full armor. Every bit of it. And we'll look at the pieces. So my prayer is that what we do is we put it all on just like we're supposed to. And we march forward under the command of our commander, Jesus Christ. Amen? Because he's already won the battle. That means we won. So when you go out of here, you already won. Is that cool? Amen. That is good news to me. Because I know that he won. And because he won, I won. Irregardless of whatever would come. Praise God. Father, thank you so much that you've equipped us. You've given us what we need. You've given us battle instructions. And most importantly, you're with us. You didn't just send us out on the battlefield to go play by ourselves. You're in each and every one of us, and I thank you so much for the power that you give to each one of us. Father, help us to really develop good spiritual warfare skills. Help us to learn better and to understand and to practice how to use the weaponry and the armor that you've given us. Help us to truly stand firm so that through you we are victorious. Lord, there may be a decision that somebody needs to make this morning. I don't know. The Holy Spirit, if you're calling somebody to make some decision, maybe there's an area in their life, Father, that they've dropped and the arrows are getting through. I pray, Father, that each one of us would just let you minister to us and speak to us, and whatever you desire us to do, that we would do this morning, just so that you'll be glorified. Father, if there's anyone who's here that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I would pray, Father, that under the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that person would turn his or her life over to Jesus and accept the gift of salvation. Then being able to learn how to use this armor, the weaponry, and the power that you've given for your glory. So Lord, again, whatever decision made that there may be that needs to be made this morning, I would just pray, Father, that we would just follow through to your glory. I praise you. I thank you. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. I'd like for us to just spend a couple moments with our heads bowed. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning, just respond. Go ahead and answer him. Do whatever it is he's telling you to do. Maybe it's turning something over in your life to him so that he can really use you. Maybe he's going to remind you that you've set down that shield, or you set down that sword or the helmet. You're out there on the battlefield kind of semi-naked. Pick up the pieces. Let him show you. Just respond to him. If any of you need to come and use the altar this morning for prayer, please do so. If you need somebody to pray with you, come and do so. There'll be several who would be more than happy to. God wants you to understand that you are victorious, that he has already won the battle for you. And in his power and in his might, his army is going to go forward. Lord God, we just thank you so much. And we praise you. We lift high your name. And we follow you under your banner. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.